Alrighty, since we're all ready to go, good evening and welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This February 27th meeting of the Board of Trustees for the Capistrano Unified School District is now back in session. At this time, I've asked Madison Wolford to lead us in the salute to the nation's flag. Madison?
Please stand. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
To approve the agenda?
Is there a second?
I move a second.
Okay. Motion by Trustee Hatton, second by Adnizio. Jane, can we have roll call, please?
President Alpe?
Present.
Trustee Hatton?
Here.
Trustee Bryson? Trustee Adnizio?
Here.
Trustee Hanasek?
Here.
Trustee Pritchard?
Present.
Trustee Reardon?
Present.
Student Advisor Madison Wolford?
Here.
Very good. We have a quorum, obviously, so with one absence. Next on the agenda is report out from closed session, and we have the following items to report. Agenda item 3A, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, case number 30-2011-0050986. I know you're all writing that down. The board voted by a vote of 6-0 to authorize counsel to file a written mandamus not to exceed $10,000 in legal fees and granted authority to seek a stay of the trial date. Trustee Bryson was absent. Agenda item number 3, B1 and B2, public employee appointment and employment. The board voted by a vote of 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent to approve the appointment of Sarah Young, Director, Level 5, Informal Dispute Resolution Specialist. The board also voted by a vote of 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent to approve the appointments of Dana Erickson and Matthew Krause, Managers, Level 4, Fiscal Services. Agenda item number three, C1 and C2, public employee discipline, dismissal, release. The board voted by a vote of 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent to accept the resignation of employee number 30077, Director, Level 6, Curriculum and Instructional Support, effective July 31st, 2013, and to enter into a release agreement that includes a waiver of all claims known and unknown against the district. The board also voted by a vote of 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent to authorize the issuance of a non-reelection notice to employee number 027470 for the 2013-2014 school year. Agenda item number 3, D1 through D8, student expulsion by stipulated agreement. The board voted by a vote of 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent to approve staff recommendations. Agenda item 3E, conference with real property negotiators. The board gave direction to staff. All right, putting all that aside, moving next is item number 5, special recognitions. At this point, I will recognize Marcus Walton, Chief Communications Officer for the district. Marcus.
Thank you, President Alpe. Tonight, as you can see, we have several students who will be recognized for their academic achievement. And the district can proudly claim 15 National Merit semifinalists. Of those, 7 went on to become National Merit finalists. The district also has 6 National Hispanic Scholars and 1 National Achievement Scholarship Program semifinalist. First, before we begin, to let you know how we will conduct this recognition, when I call the individual students' names, they will rise and they will come to the front as I continue calling names, and they will receive their certificate from Connie Scott. At that point, once all of the students are in front of the dais, we will call down Superintendent Farley and Board President Alpe to take the requisite photo with the students. So first, our National Merit finalists and semifinalists. Back in September, the district was notified that 15 seniors were named semifinalists in the 58th Annual National Merit Scholarship Program. Those 15 students are part of approximately 16,000 semifinalists, which represent less than 1% of the nation's high school seniors. Those who were ultimately named finalists this February are from Dana Hills High School, Amanda Buckingham, (clears throat) Rohit Kolar. Catherine McGauley. And Devin Trabant. Also from Dana Hills High School, but not attending this evening, is Andrew Pham. The finalists, the National Merit finalists from Capistrano Valley High School are Christopher Healy. And Nicholas Burakoff. The district semifinalists, the National Merit semifinalists from the district are from Aliso Niguel High School, Vicky Lau, Jamal Sayadi, from Tesoro High School, Clay Coleman, and Brian Lay. Other National Merit semifinalists who are not in attendance this evening are Ryan Song from Aliso Niguel High School, Alexandra Ivanov from Tesoro, and Ryan Yu, also from Tesoro High School. Next, we will recognize the six students who are named National Hispanic Scholars. Each year, the National Hispanic Recognition Program honors about 5,000 or 2% of the highest scoring students from some 250,000 Hispanic or Latino juniors who take the PSAT. The following students were named National Hispanic Scholars. From Capistrano Valley High School, Samuel Fightman. Also from Capistrano Valley, Andre Gray, and he's not here this evening, but on his behalf, student advisor Madison Wolford will accept the certificate. And Tahiri Hicks from Capistrano Valley High School. From Dana Hills High School, Kelly Gomez. And from San Juan Hills High School, Galen Hansen. Finally, we will recognize San Clemente High School senior Sarah Cabidi, who is one of more than 1,600 students designated a semifinalist in the 49th Annual National Achievement Scholarship Program. She is one of just 12 students in Orange County and 107 in the state to be named a semifinalist in the program. And Ms. Cabidi has been before in another capacity as the founder of Shoes for Sheba. So, Sarah, thank you very much for joining us. Please join me in congratulating all of our students, and will Board President John Alpay and Superintendent Joe Farley please join us in front of the...
Marcus, I've also asked Vice President Lynn Hatton to join us given the significance of these accomplishments.
Great. So. Well, if you will come to the front.
Official shot.
Thank you. Got it. And President Alfpay, if I can correct one misstatement. The Tesoro High School semifinalists were actually named National Merit Finalists, and that is a significant oversight on my part. So can we please give Clay Coleman and Brian Lay, Alexandra Ivanoff, and Ryan Yu a hand? Thank you.
Okay. Well, next on the agenda is board and superintendent comments. Any comments from the superintendent? Okay. Given that people are probably leave, I would suggest we take a 30-second break here, allow everybody the opportunity to flee. Thanks very much. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
If you're going to leave, I would ask that you make your way out the door so we can continue with the meeting. We actually have something of an agenda here tonight. All right, back to board and superintendent comments. Having no comments from the superintendent, any comments from any of the fellow board members? We'll start with Lynn.
Excuse me, mine's really quick. I don't think, is Dr. Astor still here before Dr. Astor walks out of the room? I just want to congratulate Capo Valley High School's girls soccer teams. All three of them won CVU Coast Championships. I think I said that right. So congratulations to the girls. And to you, Dr. Astor.
Very good. Okay. Amy.
Just quickly, I'm going to let you do the sports for San Clemente, but I did attend a great evening through the Capistrano Unified 4th District PTSA sponsor for No Regrets Parenting. It was quite amazing. It was very funny, delightful, and so I thank you, PTA, as always, for hosting these amazing evenings. Thank you.
Well, now I guess I do have to talk about soccer for San Clemente High School. Congratulations to the boys' soccer team at San Clemente High School for knocking off Jay Sarah 3-2 yesterday. They're in the finals yet again, and this time they will play Servite, who's making an appearance in the finals for the first time since 1983. It's pretty scary that I actually know that off the top of my head, but nonetheless, seeing no other comments from the board, we'll move on to the next item, and that is oral communications. Do we have any blue card, Janes? No, Jane. Do we have any blue cards for any items tonight? Wow, we're going to be a model of efficiency again. Okay, we will start with public hearing. Move on to item number one. Public hearing for boundary adjustments for Barcelona Hills study area. At this time, I'll recognize Deputy Superintendent Clark Hampton. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a script I need to read. Okay. Sorry, Clark. Boundary adjustments for Barcelona Hills study area. I'm going to declare at this point the public hearing is now open regarding the boundary adjustments for Barcelona Hills study area. In the absence of the clerk, I'm going to ask the Madam Vice President, is there any written comments have been received?
We have not received any written comments.
Thank you very much. Since there are no blue cards, I will offer the opportunity to anybody in the audience to address the board on the subject matter. Seeing not a large rush to the podium.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
I believe we have seen a written comment. It was circulated today by email.
That was not addressed exactly on point to this issue. Was
that right?
We just sent it to you for information.
Okay.
Since someone sent it in.
So, yeah, that email communication was not sent to the board. It was sent to, I believe, the superintendent.
Okay.
So,
it didn't fall within the four corners of that. But that is a good question. So, seeing no other speakers, I'm going to declare the public hearing closed and move on to item number two on the agenda. Discussion actions items, item number two, boundary adjustments for Barcelona Hills study area. At this time, Clark, I'll now recognize you. Clark Hampton, Deputy Superintendent, Business and Support Services.
Thank you, President Alpe, trustees. This is a follow-up to information presented to trustees at the February 13th meeting. The following presentation was given. This is what's before you now, and this in your binder is the same presentation that was given on February 13th regarding the reassigning the boundaries that were in the former Barcelona Hills Elementary area to either Castile Elementary or Riley Elementary School. And on Friday, February 22nd, a letter detailing the boundary changes proposed was sent to 2,829 residents in the Barcelona Hills attendance area. And as mentioned earlier, there was some communication back to the district office. Marcus Walton, the chief information officer, coordinated this communication with the Barcelona Hills area and has any information if the board would like to know what kind of comments were made regarding the attendance area. Marcus Walton has that. Otherwise, I could go through the presentation again just to recap, or we could move forward with approval to reassign the boundary areas.
Any discussion?
I'd like to waive the presentation.
You'd like to waive the presentation?
May move that we waive the presentation.
Okay. Well, is there a motion under substantive motion? I'm sorry, Ellen, do you have any?
I'm just seconding his motion.
To waive presentation?
Do we have to have a formal vote on that?
No.
No, okay. Well, if there's a substantive motion here, I mean, feel free to go ahead and make it if you want to waive the presentation.
I withdraw the motion. Let's waive the presentation.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion? How's that? Jim?
No.
Ellen?
Thank you. I would just like to confirm there's an item down here that suggests that no existing students would be moved under this proposal. And I'm wondering, we do allow the siblings, and we had discussed this before, we do allow the siblings to follow the older child to whatever school they may be attending. Is
yes.
that correct? We discussed
yes.
this. Correct. Okay. Thank you. Move approval of the item.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Is there a second to Ellen's motion? All right, Amy, thank you. Okay, we have a motion to adopt. Okay, we have a motion by Adnizio, second by Hanicek, to approve the reassignment of study areas 0010, 0020, and 0031 to the Castile Elementary School attendance area, and study areas 0032 and 0090 to the Riley Elementary School attendance area. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very well. The motion passes 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent. Thank you. All right. Item number three, Community Facilities District Rebalancing. At this point, I'll again recognize Clark Hampton, Deputy Superintendent.
Thank you, President Alpe. Trustees, after the certificates of participation were refinanced late last year, staff reviewed the debt service payments for the COP in terms of the following two items. The impact on debt service payments with regard to the dissolution of the redevelopment agencies, because that was a source of some of the payback of the debt service over the period of the bonds, the certificates of participation, and also what portion, and it was determined that the pass-through payments on the successor agencies to the redevelopment agencies would continue past the term of the COP, so we were okay there. And then the second item was what portion of debt service in the past was borne by CFDs, and to determine if over the life of the debt service schedule are all CFDs contributing to the portion of debt related to the district office. So the attached report in the item by Taussig and Associates illustrates the past contributions of CFDs to this portion of debt service and an estimate for rebalancing payments among all CFDs, so that as such, when the COP is completely paid off, there's a contribution by each CFD to the debt service portion related to the district office. And Andrea Ress, Managing Director with David Tausig and Associates, and Alex Bowie, partner with Bowie, Arneson, Wiles, and Giannon, is here to answer any questions trustees may have regarding this item. This is the presentation here up on the screen is simply screenshots of the item, so that if there's any questions or discussions about illustrations in the item, we can move to that and have it up in front of us to discuss.
I should point out to my colleagues, this is an information item only. There's no action. Any questions or comments from board members? Jim?
I'll start with a simple one. Is this only related to the contribution that went to build this building, the rebalancing?
And I'll ask Andrea to correct me if I say something that isn't absolutely correct, but the understanding is that this is to go back and rebalance historically so that from the beginning to the end of the payments for the district office, whether it was for COPs prior to the refinancing or the new COPs after refinancing, would be contribution would be from all CFDs across the board.
Okay. That raises two more questions. The first one is the basis for the rebalancing. I guess that, you know, when you look at CFDs, they're not all created equal. They represent communities of different valued houses, different numbers of residents, they're different. And they were made at different times and under different economic conditions. And I'm wondering how we can presume to balance something retroactively under those circumstances.
Well, the district looked at the contributions from the CFDs that had made the contributions, and there were some CFDs that hadn't contributed, but as far as the details, as far as the past, I'll ask if Andrea could come up, and so that she can, because the David Tausig did the analysis of the historical payments, and they also looked at each CFD as far as what was allowable towards the district office portion of the COP.
Hi, hello.
Hi, good evening. Andrea Ress with David Tausig and Associates. Originally, when the COPs were issued, only certain CFDs contributed. At this point, there was discussions that we want to make it more equitable. I think what you're saying is absolutely right. There's many different ways we could look at it. What we determined would be a fair basis would to be looking at the number of expected dwelling units in each CFD and allocating an approximately equal amount to each dwelling unit to make it fairer than it had been done previously. Are there other ways this analysis could be done? Yes, definitely. But between our firm working with staff, working with the attorneys, we felt that this was a reasonable attempt to make it more fair than it had been previously.
Okay, but it's a true statement that, I mean, there's almost no other form of revenue generation within the school district which is done by units. It's mostly done by ad valorem, right? Correct?
That's right. That is right. I mean, your SFID, those taxes are ad valorem. CFD, by law, those taxes can't be ad valorem. You know, as you said, different CFDs contribute different dollar amounts. Those that were formed early on maybe pay less per unit than the later. Some CFDs, their taxes are just going for school facilities. Others are paying for joint facilities with other public agencies. It seemed like numbers of dwelling units seemed the best available option.
Okay, I want to state that I haven't really taken a position about this, but it strikes me that what we're doing is retroactively altering the conditions of the original CFD by reallocating the way that money is.
We are reallocating the CFDs. Virtually all of the CFDs, there's taxes that are levied to pay for debt service. There's taxes that are levied to pay directly for facilities or to pay for debt service on the COPs. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, is something that we've actually also been working with on staff, is coming up with better plan for, you know, how those taxes are allocated. You know, retroactively, what this means is that some of the CFDs that contributed early on actually are getting money back as credits to them, and other CFDs that haven't paid at all will be asked to contribute money to the COP. Doesn't mean that their taxes are going to be higher. It means that taxes that would have been levied otherwise to pay directly for facilities will be directed to the COP.
I understand that. And if others have questions, I can stop. But I've got another question based on that.
I don't see any other red lights, so please continue.
The issue here is a sensitive one. In some circles, and the issue of equity and equitable distribution of common costs is a laudable goal, but there's a fundamental question when you look at the result of the rebalancing, which is that, as you say, some CFDs see money flow back into funds which are for specific purposes only spendable in a particular community and out of the common purpose. And in other cases, you see money moving into the common purpose and out of the local purpose.
Right.
That's accurate.
I don't disagree with
okay,
that.
Okay, so would be fair to say that common purpose expenses that were made in the school district before the formation of a CFD, would that mean that the CFD is not... I mean, it seems to me we've got a stop clock problem in this too. There's an issue of what do you do with a brand new community that didn't even exist at the time that the common commitment was made.
And legal counsel has looked at this also, but all of the CFDs, this is an eligible use. The CFD, the COP was paying only a portion of the COP. Sorry, I'm not saying this right. Portion of the CFD, COP, paid for facilities in Mission Viejo. Those are paying strictly from Mission Viejo redevelopment. The admin building was paid for from San Juan redevelopment with a backstop coming from certain CFDs.
But we're not giving any money back to San Juan redevelopment, for example, in this rebalancing.
No. And in the rebalancing, still the premise is that San Juan redevelopment contributes first and fully. And the CFDs are a backstop to that. But the administrative facilities are an eligible item. District-wide
right.
Administration facilities are an eligible expense for all of the CFDs.
Are there any other eligible expenses within the district? Common expenses? Common facility expenses?
I believe that general district admin, some of them have busing, some of them have other district-wide costs that are eligible, yes.
Okay. Are they a portion of this proposed rebalancing, or is that something that we would have to deal with
this
in the future?
This rebalancing is just looking at debt service on the COP.
This building?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Okay, I don't see any other comments. With that, okay, we'll move on to the next item unless you have anything further, Clark. All right. Okay, next item, number four, goals and objectives for the ongoing work of the district superintendent. We'll start this off. I'll turn this over to the superintendent, Joe Farley. Joe?
I prepared probably more information than you need on this topic, but it's clearly something I'm interested in. I think there's a couple of options for you. We could have a discussion here and conversation about ongoing goals, new goals, those kinds of things. I would also suggest that you could also prepare something in writing and get it to Mr. Alpay, and we'll bring something back in the form of some general recommendations. Your packet includes most data from my evaluations over the past 2 years. I took out some of the confidential things, but it shows you what we've accomplished in the last 2 years. I think it's a lot. It reflects the work of lots of people, not just the superintendent, particularly cabinet members. And we talked about this today. We're proud of what we've done. And we've accomplished all of this in the worst economic crisis of any school district of California. But I think our goal has always been to not let our financial crisis be an excuse for not moving forward with important initiatives, and that's what we've done. In the cover memo, I highlight some important ones that we need to address in the short and long term. And the most glaring one is one you're familiar with, our facility upgrades, improvements and modernization. We have a number of campuses that, while not built in the 50s, are beginning to show their wear. And we have campuses that were built in the 50s and are doing and look pretty good, actually. But we do have facility needs across the entire system that, if you were to add up the cost, it's probably over $1 billion in modernization and facility work. We still have a lot of work to do in identification, intervention, and prevention services for students. There's a whole spectrum of issues that we deal with in those areas, including safety, security, and student supervision. And then we also want to continue to emphasize our instructional initiatives that we have implemented in the last 3 years and want to continue. We're also doing currently doing work to upgrade and update the strategic plan, so that may influence the goals and objectives as well.
Okay, well, as Joe suggested, I mean, we could do this at the subject the discretion of the board, but my thought was we could engage discussion now, but maybe better just for us to put our objectives all in writing and then submit it, and I'll collate them all and eliminate the duplicates, and then we could discuss it at the next board meeting. But we could do it any which way. If anybody feels strongly about doing it another way, I'm certainly open to suggestions. Okay, so well, hearing no objection, I guess this will proceed. I would ask that trustees provide to me in writing their suggestions in terms of goals and objectives for the superintendent within the next 2 weeks. Allows me time to sufficiently organize them and collate them as appropriate. Hearing no objection to that, we'll proceed with that. All right, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Item number 5, first reading, revisions to board bylaws, bylaw 9320. And I'll turn this back over to Superintendent Joe Farley. Joe?
You discussed this at your December 10th meeting. The only change is the reference to the Wednesday board meetings.
Any comments, questions?
Can we waive the second reading? No, we cannot, because all the board members are not here. Thank you.
Good question, though. All right, seeing no comments, we'll do the next second reading next meeting. Okay, we do have a second reading. Item number 6 here, revisions to board policy 5119, open enrollment. At this point, I will recognize Joe Farley, superintendent. Joe?
This work was actually done by Dr. Hatchell. This is consistent with your previous discussions on this item. Essentially, the change is moving from the phrase open enrollment to school of choice.
Any discussion? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the second reading revisions to board policy 5119.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion by Hatton, second by Reardon to approve the revisions to board policy 5119, open enrollment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very well. Motion passes 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent. Item number 7, resolution number 1213-33, reserving the right to make 2013-2014 CUMA employee compensation reductions. At this point, I'll recognize Jody Breitlinger, Assistant Superintendent, Personnel Services.
Thank you. This resolution comes before the board for, unfortunately, the fifth year in a row. This is something that, per the direction of the county, giving the board maximum options as we enter into budget development. As the resolution states, we will be reopening negotiations with our three employee groups, at which time then we will bring forward proposals that may include compensation reductions. But for our CUMA, which represents our management, confidential, and supervisory employees, this would be providing them notice within the statutory timelines.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay, I'll entertain a motion if there is one.
I will move the staff recommendation, the resolution.
Is there a second to your motion?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Reardon, second by Hatton, to approve resolution number 1213-33, reserving the right to make 2013-2014 CUMA employee compensation reductions and provide authorization to deliver written notice to unrepresented CUMA employees. Because this is a resolution, I'll ask for a roll call. Jane, would you be so kind?
Student Advisor Madison Wolford?
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio?
Aye.
Trustee Hanatek?
Aye.
Trustee Hatton?
Aye.
Trustee Pritchard?
Aye.
Trustee Reardon?
Aye.
Trustee Alpin?
Aye. All right, the motion passes 6-0 with Trustee Bryson absent. Thank you very much. All right, next we're moving on to the consent calendar. There are no items from staff and no items from the public to be pulled. I've got a request to pull items 16, 31, and 32. Any other items for trustees that they'd like to pull? All right, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the balance.
Move approval of the balance of the consent calendar.
Is there a second to your motion?
I'll second.
All right, motion by Adonisio, second by Hatton to approve the balance excluding items 16, 31, and 32. This will be a roll call. Jane?
Student Advisor Madison Wolford?
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio?
Aye.
Trustee Hanasek?
Aye.
Trustee Hatton?
Aye.
Trustee Pritchard?
Aye.
Trustee Reardon?
Aye.
Trustee Alpic?
Aye. All right, the motion passes 6-0 with Bryson absent. The first item pulled from the calendar was item number 16. This was pulled by Trustee Adonisio. Ellen?
Thank you. I was just wondering if I could get a little bit of information from staff. We do get gifts and donations and so forth from all of our wonderful booster clubs. And I'm wondering if there is a way to coordinate and determine how much we have received in the last fiscal year from these groups. Some of it is recorded here, and we're able to take that from whatever is provided us. We do have the PTA, which does a tremendous amount for the district, and they provide us with their hours and so forth. But we have so many other boosters at the sites, and I just would wonder if we could get our arms around some of the dollars that are coming our way to our schools. Do we have a means or method to do that?
Joe, do you want to address that?
The ones that are approved by the boards are donations to the board, to the district. There are a lot of other purchases that are made by some of the nonprofit foundations and so forth that don't come to you. We could do an kind of an educated guess by gathering some data from them and give you a summary of what we get.
That would be helpful. I know that staff time is rare, but if there is something that's available at the schools, if they have some kind of information available at their front desk that they may have accumulated, or if we could, okay. It would be so helpful. Our community does so much, and we are looking at budget cuts and so forth, so if we just have a sense of what's going on from the community coming into us, it might be helpful.
May I suggest that maybe we do a year-end report and maybe make that an annual reporting so that in the future they would be prepared for compiling that. We could do something this June after school closes, and then it'll be more of an estimation, but then we could institutionalize something that we would keep track of throughout the
That's
year.
That's fine.
Does that work
Great,
for you?
Great idea. Thank you.
Okay.
Move approval of the item number 16.
Is there a second to your motion? All right, motion by Adonisio, second by Hatton. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 6-0 with Bryson absent. All right, next item is item number 31. Jim, you had pulled this item?
Yes, it's been an item of some interest of mine for a few weeks, and I have a few questions about it that relate to, it's the relationship between item 31 and 32. 31 describes a section of the education code that qualifies non-physical, as I understand it, that qualifies non-physical education instructors to teach physical education and establishes conditions under which students can receive credit for that instruction. Is that fair statement of what it is?
It's Title V of the California Code.
Right. And these are some fairly reasonable requirements. I'm trying to get to the question of how the school district tracks this and whether the people listed in Exhibit 32, for example, are somehow monitored separately or apart from the general staff to determine whether they possess valid CPR certificates. I mean, do we actually have record of that?
Yes, we do.
Do we have record that they received it once or that it is currently valid?
Yes.
These things expire.
Yes, and they are required to be renewed, and we do track and monitor that.
Can you describe how the tracking works?
Yes, we do. We have in our human resources database system a screen in which we can put licenses and certificates. And so we enter in the valid expiration dates of their CPR and first aids. We have then worked just harmoniously with our TIS department to then be able to provide this information to all of our school sites, our principals, and our athletic directors, who then can monitor and touch base with their temporary athletic coaches relative to the requirements and their renewal. And then we in our office have conversations with them. Nobody on this list would be on this list if their CPR first aid was not current.
And the other requirements as well?
Yes.
Okay. I'll move the question.
All right. Do you wish to make a motion? Move the item?
Move the item.
All right.
Second.
All right. Motion by Reardon, second by Adnesio. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 6-0 with Bryson absent. Thank you. Item number 32. Jim, you would also pull this item.
Same item. Move approval.
All right. Second to that motion? All right. Motion by Reardon, second by Hatton. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes 5-1 with Bryson absent. All right. Very good. Well, at this time, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move adjournment.
Is there a second?
Aye.
All right. Motion by Anesio, second by Reardon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Good.